Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. You're listening to America This Week with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. I am Kerry Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are now switching gears to speak with Father Jim McDermott, who is the Los Angeles correspondent for us at America Magazine. He also happens to be, as Father Malone mentioned at the top of the show, a working screenwriter in Hollywood. He has spent the last year on the AMC TV show Preacher, writing for it, not actually on air, as far as I know. He was a former associate editor at America, and as I said, now our West Coast correspondent. And he's also dubbed prior to at the top of the show by Father Matt, one of our favorite Jesuits.
Indeed.
So, yep. Father Jim McDermott, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks a lot.
That's a heck of a billing there, Jim.
Yeah. It is. I'm going to hire you out, Matt.
You have to live up to this now.
Anytime I need an introduction, I want the two of you to do it.
But you got to live up to it. You got to actually perform now. So say something interesting quick.
Dance.
So I want to talk a little bit about this article you wrote for us recently about this show, The Good Place. It's a new show starring Kristen Bell, It talks about this vision of the afterlife, I guess. I guess it's supposed to be heaven, right? They say it's the good place. They don't specifically call it heaven. So it could be
actually,
one of
they
these,
say
like...
that, all the different religions each get about 5% right. So terms like heaven, I think, probably fall within that. There's the good place and there's the bad place. And that's as close as they get to talking about, say, heaven and hell.
So as a screenwriter and a Jesuit, how did you sort of expect this show to kind of depict the afterlife, and how has that sort of lived up to what you thought it might be, or how is this sort of an interesting view of it?
Yeah, I think I'm always nervous when Hollywood takes on religion, because usually it's either going to involve idealistic, idyllic beings like angels who solve all the problems of your life, or it's going to involve people twisting their heads. Like, that's
right.
Generally,
so
what
touched
Hollywood
by an angel
does with
or
religion.
The Exorcist.
Right. That's it. Yeah, that's basically the two sort of gears that Hollywood knows how to work with. So when I heard about the show, I thought, it's probably going to be touched by an angel. And there's definitely an audience for that. There's a huge audience for that.
I spent a lot of hours watching that as a child.
Is that right?
I don't know what that says about me or the show, but yes.
Highway to Heaven, Michael Landon.
How could you not feel
that way?
Anxious, like when Andrew, the angel of death, shows up? No, I mean, like, these are dramatic moments.
These are important touchstones in your life, is what you're telling me.
I'm just saying, Roma Downey, she can call me anytime.
So that's what I expected, was something like that. Like, it's some sort of healing journey, I guess, vision of heaven. And to some extent, that's true, but it's so interesting. Basically, the setup is, yes, it is this sort of heavenly realm, although it looks a lot more like West LA. You know, it has Froyo's on every corner. It has a shop where I think the title of the shop is Everything Fits, and every clothing you try on looks amazing on you. But what's interesting about it is that the character in the center of it, Kristen Bell's character, her name's Eleanor Shellstrop. It's a great name. She doesn't belong there. It's a mistake. She's not a good person. She knows she wasn't a good person. And they sort of lay out for her, this was your life. Here are all the amazing things that you did. And she just sort of goes along with it. But then at the end of the pilot, she reveals to her soulmate, because everyone in heaven has a soulmate that they meet. She tells her soulmate that, like, none of that is me. This house, which they designed for me, which has weird clown paintings on it, et cetera, like, that, I hate clowns. None of this actually fits me. So the story is basically, it's a comedy, it's a half hour, but it's this woman who's been told that she should have gone to the bad place, who knows that she should have gone to the bad place, and you don't know what that's like, but they give you like a 10-second audio clip, and it's just screaming.
Just the screaming. Exactly. You know, you don't know what it's like, but you know you don't want to end up there.
Exactly. So she's fighting to try to stay, and what complicates it is her very presence and some of the choices that she makes ends up screwing up that world.
Right. So like she's kind of messing it up for everybody else.
Exactly. So like there's a party that she goes to and she eats all the shrimp or tons and tons of shrimp. And it's endless shrimp, right? It's heaven. You can have as much shrimp as you want. But because it's her doing it, the next day, among other crazy things, they're like flying headless shrimp flying around and terrifying people and huge ladybugs that are like giant ladybugs. And there's a hole that rips into the center of this sort of land, the good place. So her soulmate, who knows that she doesn't belong there, is telling her, this is because of you. And she's trying to find a way to not have to reveal or who she is or leave, but at the same time to keep the world from falling apart.
There's a kind of purgatory element to the whole thing, if you ask me. It seems like this purifying of Eleanor that's taking place throughout the show, which is, I don't know.
Sounds like watching it might have a purgatory element.
Apparently, Matt's a bigger fan of Touched by an Angel. Is that?
Highway to Heaven. Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Landon. Yep. I got it.
I mean, does it succeed as a work of comedy?
It does. Actually, it really unexpectedly does. And I'll tell you, it's not even that. What makes it even harder to do, but it continues to succeed, is that her soulmate is a moral philosophy professor, and the way that he's trying to help her is by teaching her about things like Kant or utilitarianism, which, I mean, it's just, if you tried to pitch this show, they would say, this is boring. This is boring and sad, so no. Like,
right. As I've been watching the episodes, I'm constantly like, I can't believe this is on TV. Like, I didn't expect Hume to be mentioned in this 30-minute comedy.
Right. But it's very funny. Kristen Bell is very funny. Ted Danson, who plays, he's the one that's every sort of good place, and there are many of them, like many little villages, but we've only seen the one. They're each sort of, they have an architect, and Ted Danson is this, he plays the architect of the good place that Kristen Bell is in, and he's a brand new architect, and he's never gotten to do any of this, so he's super earnest and excited, and they're charming and funny, and there's a poignancy to some of the characters because their backstories are sad, or they have made poor choices, but it is. It's amazing how funny and kind of successful I think it is.
You know, I have the same anxiety that you have, Jim, you know, when I hear that Hollywood's going to be looking at religion. But on the other hand, I think to myself, well, at least they're interested, right? And, you know, is this show and other shows like it, does it indicate a kind of resurgence of interest in topics of spirituality and religion in Hollywood?
Yeah, I think so. And as much as I can sort of react sort of knee-jerk at the beginning, even before now, I would say there's always been an interest. It's more like a lack of language in a way. Like, I think Hollywood is, there are some very religious people working in Hollywood, Catholic and otherwise, but in general you find sort of people who are culturally one religion or another, but not necessarily practicing. And so some of the experiential moments or just even language that sort of someone that's been raised Catholic or raised Jewish and going to mass or synagogue or temple every week, those things can be lacking. And so they're just like, there are gaps that, so sometimes I have to remind myself, you know, it's not a lack of interest. I think you're absolutely right, Matt. It's more like just sort of grasping to try to understand this thing that's so important to so many people.
It's almost like they intuit that the topics are interesting and could make for good drama and comedy, but they don't quite know how to articulate it.
Absolutely. And they also know, for instance, just to take the sort of Exorcist model, that's very successful. Whether or not some TV shows can pull it off, in general, if you make, you know, you got some thrills, you got some demons, a lot of people are going to show up. So in some ways that the success might push Hollywood to think first of a model like that, because they already know that works.
Right. Yeah. The flying shrimp are less common.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Or if you say, I've got this show, and it's sort of, I mean, this is one way to talk about The Good Place. It's sort of about sin and how, like, if I'm a sinner, even if it's just to the stuff I do in my own little world, it affects the whole world. Like, to pitch the show like that again, it's like, oh, that sounds more like a theology paper, though.
Right.
I think theological studies would be really interested in that, or America Magazine, but I'm not so sure.
I'd like to have a sitcom about the corporate nature of sin.
That's it.
Go.
That's it. Yeah, maybe you should write an essay.
That's it. Green light.
That's the company we need in Hollywood.
Right. Father Jim, can you talk about the show that you've been writing for, Preacher?
So, absolutely. I was a writer in the first season, or actually in the second season now. But, Preacher is a show on AMC. It's a show, it's a crazy show. It's a show about a broken down religious pastor who's basically trying to live up to his father, who was a great pastor in this small town, Texas, West Texas, who gets this strange power to compel people to do what he says. So if he tells you, like, treat your wife better, you will do that. So it seems like a good thing to him. And he's thinking of it really in terms of himself, which is, I can make them better, and that will save me. Because he's looking at his own past, he's got a lot in it he's not proud of. But as you might imagine, that doesn't go terribly
quite
well.
Quite according to plan.
It does not go according to plan. I mean, one of the things that I really love about the show is that, in a way, he's deeply violating people by doing what looks like a good thing. But
right.
It's an incredible violation to sort of force people to be good, and to be good in the way he thinks they should be good. It is just like, it's a horrible thing to do, but it seems like, on the surface, like it would be the right thing to do.
Right. Well, it takes away the element of free will.
Entirely.
Right.
It
ceases to be good when you no longer choose it.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We would have arguments in the room about, like, some people would say, you know, that's, it's fine. It's not that bad. It's like, no. It's the worst thing ever. that would be my reaction. Six brothers in the room. But I would get just very exercised. Like, no, you have no idea how horrible that sounds. But they say, no, you're wrong. We're doing it this way. All right. Off we go.
I mean, as a writer on a TV show, this would be a little more serious topic show. But is, you know, like, I imagine your life being like on 30 Rock or something. Like, you all sit around and you're all like hilarious and talented and somewhat quirky. Tell me, is this really life as a screenwriter?
Yeah. I mean, in the TV room, in our room anyway, we would be sitting around a table in a conference room for 8 hours a day. And that was really livable. There are other shows that'd be much longer days, 8 hours a day, every day, basically pitching ideas for episodes to our boss, the showrunner, the creator. And then once we had like the basic ideas we wanted to play with for the episode, then going through every moment in the episode, not just every scene, although there'd be a lot of that, but like, what's the opening shot? What's the sequence of dialogue? Our showrunner, who came from Breaking Bad, Sam Catlin, his name is, he really sort of bought into the Breaking Bad model, which is the whole group as a group really develops pretty much everything in every episode. And people are, it was a really talented group. There were a couple writers that had a lot of experience. There were a bunch of writers that had less experience, or some that had experience in theater, but really funny, often not publishable kind of humor, but hilarious, just, and brilliant. I mean, brilliant. It's a show that I haven't really described it as a genre show, but, you know, it has a vampire in it as one of the main characters. It has a kind of a contract killer as a main character. It has its own sort of weird afterlife that kind of factors in. So it has a lot of big concepts, and even though it has a very serious direction, it's also it has to be very funny and over the top. And I think the writers that we had really, really were up to that. It was an amazing group of people to work with.
Now, we have just a couple minutes left, Jim. I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit.
All right, cool.
If there is a show on TV I should be watching right now, what is it?
Oh, wow. one show on TV right now. All right, I'll give you. I mean, there are so many great shows. I'll tell you one that critics always talk about, but I don't think anyone watches, and it's in its final season. It's called Rectify.
Rectify, okay.
Yeah, it's a show on Sundance. It's and basically the premise of the show, when it began, is a guy has been in prison for 20 years for killing his girlfriend in high school.
Okay.
And now, in the present, DNA evidence has exonerated him.
Okay.
They don't know who did it, but they know that that evidence didn't prove that he did it. And so as the show begins, he's released from prison. And so part of it is him dealing with that. Like, he is never really, as an adult.
Yeah. You know what? I'm afraid we're out of time. But it's Rectify on Sundance. Is that what you said?
That's it. Take it.
All right. Father Jim McDermott, America's Los Angeles correspondent. You can read him every week at America's website, www.americamagazine.org. And you can also read them in print. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And also, to subscribe to America Magazine, call 800-627-9533. That's 800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. Our thanks to Father Jack Wall and Father Jim McDermott. For Kerry Weber, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.